Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, before we go around the NFL here, we were just, as a question of the day, asking if the NFL allowed one player on every team to be the designated juicer and the designated PED user for the entirety of the season, who would you pick for the Texans? And y'all are hell, bro. Like somebody said, juice all the trash corners and DBs we have. First of all, you didn't have to do all that, but you can only pick one. And second of all, from the 281, give it to JJ when he comes back. All right. Okay. I appreciate you getting involved, though, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line.
I'm surprised nobody said Stingley.
Well, that's interesting.
How would that be a cornerback on a juice like that?
He would be next level.
And he got cocky this season, too, man. Mm-hmm.
And for good reason.
He got his weight up.
He has been hooping.
Yeah,
he's
been
great. In fact, if you watch the film of that game, it looks even better. I mean, chasing down CD and making an incredible block. One of the things I love about Stingley is there's times where it feels like he's just far enough where I'm like, oh, they got enough cushions to complete that pass.
And
he'll get there with a millisecond left and break up a pass. He did it in this game as well. And I'm like, man, he just has the perfect timing.
Yeah.
And the perfect feel.
If he was on the juice, you might have to move him up to linebacker.
I wouldn't want to.
Nah, man. He'd just be one of them big old cornerbacks.
Yeah.
All right, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. So I was just mentioning that game in which on Monday night the Texans beat the Dallas Cowboys 34-10 in their own house, like run to your trap, take over your trap, all that. It seems like some people did not realize that their trap had been taken over. The Dallas Cowboys, specifically Micah Parsons, and he was joined on his podcast by Trayvon Diggs, cornerback for that Cowboys team. They got on and they kept talking. So one of the things I'd like to start with is this from Micah Parsons, just talking about the Cowboys as a team and how he still believes in them.
I'm going to put this out there. We're a damn good football team.
Are you?
I know the scores ain't showing it, and I know obviously people
is there
feel
a
like
board?
We got so many different pieces, but yeah, I just truly believe like you almost got to go to things like things that we messing up on.
Sure.
Like I think our defense is really turning things around. Like up until that last quarter when they got that touchdown defense, we only really gave up those two touchdowns.
Oh, only two.
And that first quarter. But other than that, we gave up 6 points in the other two quarters. You know, the score don't really show how good we actually are. And
it sure don't. That,
you know, it seems like, especially for me, you know how good of a coach Al is and how good of a coach I think Zim's doing. I'm just speaking defensively. How good, you know, our coaches have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just hate that outcome because our coaches is really doing an amazing job.
My favorite part is the score don't really show us how good we are. Though. Y'all lost 34-10.
And if you take away the times that we weren't successful, we were successful, though.
And they could have scored the Texans at least two more touchdowns in the first half.
That's right.
You know, we only gave up two. Should have been four. Should have been four.
Yes.
I know Darren Moore could play football, man.
And I was going to say, you know, we actually won that game. is that what he's saying? We actually won.
I don't think y'all realize we're actually a good under all these tatters. We're really cool. We're really good looking.
That's going over very well in Dallas right now.
So shout out to Micah Parsons. You know what? I'll allow it. You want to know why? In order to play these sports, you got to be a little delusional, I think. Like, I feel like that's how this goes.
Yeah. Or he must have been listening to Rosie Perez. Like, when you lose, sometimes you really win. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you do win when you lose, except that's not really how this works. Another Micah Parsons cut with Trayvon Diggs. You mentioned yesterday, or was it yesterday? 2 days ago, in fact, the Dalton Schultz.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton Schultz, after this game, he got on Twitter
or
on social media.
The cold brew.
He had the cold brew and some glasses and a couple of coffee. Of course, it's coffee cups. It starts dark. You put some milk in, and then you can see the writing that's on the glasses. And I believe they pointed to the Texans being the best team in Texas.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
It seems like these boys did not take, or they took issue with that.
Congrats to the Texans, man. They won the Texas Bowl. But all time, they're 3-4 against us. We know in our minds, we're the real team in Texas. You know what I'm saying? I actually saw Dalton Schultz, like, put some little coffee troll thing on Twitter. I'm like, what the hell? Like,
what he was trying to say.
It was like in the coffee mugs, like, the Texans are the best team in Texas. Like, what?
No chance.
That no little chance. Petty sidebar now that you over there, you feel like, come on, dog.
Laugh now, cry later.
Like, That's fine, dog. Like, yeah. Like, I get it. Like, Joe Mixon, you know, did that. You know, he had a, you know, decent game, 100 yards, 20 carries, but like, no impact it on Twitter? Come on, young. Come on. They say, you know, are the Texans.
All right, I'm done with him. I'm done with him. That's enough.
So bad. That's enough. So bad. You know, our all time, that's like those college fans. You know, that like some college team has won 10 of the last 12. Yeah, well, who has the all-time record?
Yeah, back when Zip Montgomery was playing. Yeah,
who has the all-time record?
Yeah, I mean, championships you all got.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Yankees fans.
All-time 3-4.
Yeah, no, you are 1-1, sir.
Yeah,
you, what are we in doing? Playing in this series, are 1-1.
And he had like 3-4 is a big gap.
Exactly.
Yeah. We right here. We're looking at you in your eyes. We face to face.
We are right
nose
here.
Nose to nose.
You know what I have to say to Michael Parsons? Have some shame. Like, where did we lose shame? Because I feel like shame use is a very powerful tool in our society. Mm-hmm. And there's clearly shame would have stopped you from saying that nonsense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's kind of delusional, you know? And it's kind of reflective of, like, the Cowboys. Hey, we're the Cowboys. That doesn't mean squat anymore, man. That doesn't mean
squat. Don't nobody care about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of shame, do you think he's right, though?
About
Dalton Schultz? Because I know that there's people locally that have some, they still have some concerns about Dalton Schultz and what he does,
I think
blocking
that's separate.
And all those things.
I think that's separate. But for the king of trolling, Micah Parsons, to say, oh, you're just trolling. Yeah. That's what you win. That's part of the spoils of victory. You get to say, hey, we're the best team in Texas.
Okay, so let's take...
And Micah is the king of trolling. Yeah.
Let's take Dalton specifically out of
but
it.
But you're talking about the game. Yeah. Know, his game.
But let's take Dalton specifically out of it. The idea of no impact and trolling.
I did kind of have an issue with that a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, if it was Joe Mixon, Joe Mixon was trolling a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
running your trap, take over your trap.
Go ahead, man.
Hat trick for the boys.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz, I'm just like, bro, you talking a lot, man. Like, I don't know what happened in Dallas with you and Dallas.
He don't like them.
He hates Dallas. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Like, I don't know personally what happened, but I'm like, dog, come on, man. Like, you got to relax a little bit.
What were his numbers in that game? I forget what
that. Dalton Schultz?
Yeah.
Oh, I can help you with that.
Yeah.
Would you like me to give you his?
I would love for you to.
Dalton Schultz, 5 catches, 33 yards.
Well, I mean, 5 is decent. 33 is not so much, but.
Yeah, let's not act like he Travis Kelce or something.
Yeah,
and he, like, dog, come on, man.
I think that just comes from him hating Dallas.
Yeah, he
yeah, I think so.
And you earn that right when you go in there and win.
And I think, you know, Micah Parsons is speaking from a place.
I think Micah Parsons handled that wrong. He got to take that L, man.
Got to hold it.
Like, whoever trolling, no matter what they did, it could have been Dare troll. Like,
do it on the field.
You can't say nothing.
Exactly.
You lost.
That's where I am on it.
You lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of speaking from a place of hurt, I'm sure you guys have been following this New York Giants situation where Daniel Jones has been benched. Not just benched. He is now third string on the roster and in practice, fourth string quarterback.
Fourth string quarterback.
Don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, they don't want him to get hurt. There's some injury guarantees on that contract, and it's very evident that the Daniel Jones era of starting quarterback in the Giants is gone. But the backup had been Drew Locke.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to be the starter either. He remains the backup to Tommy DeVito. You remember him, the dude who was doing all the aggressive
Tommy
Italian
Cutlets,
stereotypes.
He had that agent,
yeah, or whoever he was. Y'all actually had him on Radio Row.
Yeah, we had him on Radio Row.
Had to hit the dump button a couple times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
At least a couple.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, this is Drew Locke. My bad. This is Drew Locke talking about how, you know, he really hates that he did not get an opportunity to start.
Again, that's a question I might still have for myself. Noah's expressed to me that I was going to be the two. And I don't know, it's just an interesting situation. not much I can really say about it besides, again, I'm gonna be here for him. And, you know, we're still communicating, still very good friends, believe it or not. I'm going to be here for him. This team needs to get a win, and we start winning, everything gets a little better around here.
I actually kind of am with him on this.
You feel for him?
Because this is just another indicator of management.
Oh, yeah, this is their failure, and then them then punishing players for their failure, because the scuttlebutt is that even Drew Lock, who probably is the best best player to put in that situation at quarterback, he might not be playing because of potential performance bonuses that he could rack up in playing.
Yes.
And that just feels real nasty, right? Like, that's the whole point of the contract, is you give him an opportunity to earn that money, and then you're taking that opportunity away because you want to be cheap, because you have been bad at putting this team together. That feels real nasty. So I do feel for him in that way.
I feel for him. I would side with him. And I think it's not just a reflection of management. It's a reflection of that locker room is split. That locker room for sure is taking sides, and it's just a reflection of how bad things are there.
All right, some other things around the NFL. Thursday Night Football, you'll be able to hear this on Sports Radio 610 this evening. Browns, Steelers. John Lopez's interest level is...
Oh, it's there. I got
really?
Yeah, I got some interest in this game.
Can I ruin your interest level? Oh, well, I shouldn't. This is not the way I should go with it.
let me throw the bucket of cold water on.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I want to see the Steelers up close, you know, I mean, you know, beginning to end.
Oh, you want to see some field goals then.
Maybe.
See some Boswell.
Well, he wants to see 2 to 4 deep shots, as the Steelers have wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
It's just been, hey, Russell Wilson, make the easy play, except for a few times in the game where I just want you to chuck it up their dog, right? Like,
but
that.
But they're really good, man.
Chuck it up there and try to get a field goal. Let's go.
Yeah.
One, two, three, go.
Hey. Everybody has them rated above the Texans.
Yeah, well.
Man, why you got to bring that?
I want to see them. Is it real?
That is fair. So you'll have an opportunity to, and what better test than the Cleveland Browns, I guess. but also, I don't know, do you get the fullest version of the Steelers on Thursday Night Football? Because there's a weird stat that popped up. The Steelers hired Mike Tomlin in 2007, and the Steelers are 1-7 in Thursday Night Football games since then.
That is wild. I did come across that this morning as well when we're getting ready for the show, and I actually double checked it. Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Anything 1-7 that's related to Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, especially because like, he is such a good coach at just like raising the floor of a team.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine like, you lessen the ability of coaching when you're on a short week on a Thursday when you can't get on the practice field nearly as much and get all that game planning down into the players. Like, I imagine that affects it. But I did not expect it to be that drastic, 1-7. And so, yeah, we'll see just how interesting that game actually ends up being.
I also am very interested. Yeah, I'm sure y'all have seen this, maybe not our listeners. There's a real, even though they don't face each other, there's a real beef between T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. Like, that is going on here.
What, two of the constant defensive player of the year guys?
Yeah. Yeah. They're going at each other, you know, publicly.
No, it's for real, man.
Yeah, it's for real. and Garrett went after him this week in his press availability. And I think J.J. had, obviously, T.J.'s back on the whole argument about the defensive player of the year and all. So that's going to be fun to watch those two guys.
And it's always fun to just see Jameis do things. Ain't it?
You got to see that pregame speech, man.
Oh,
I'm ready for it, man.
I'm actually done with Jameis Priest's pregame speeches.
Oh, how could you be?
It's cringe. It makes me cringe a little bit.
He said, let's kick some booty.
That's
come on,
the
let's
thing.
Kick some booty.
Yeah. Like, he's being entirely sincere, and I know that the people around him, like, they don't love it. So, like, it'd be funny if everybody was in, or at least a majority of people were in on it, because I know you're never going to get, like, a full group of folks. I don't know. And maybe I'm just the weird one here.
Hey, I think it's better than listening to Deshaun Watson pregame.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So there's some folks that are like talking about the Giants and saying that they don't want to mess up draft position, and this is why I'm not really super fond of
the Giants. Nah, I think they were the best. I think they probably would have been worse with Daniel Jones starting, if we want to be real.
Yeah, but that's
a money thing. It's a money thing, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Can they be worse than putting Tommy DeVito in there? I think also, on top of that, it's just... I don't love being able to reward incompetence, which it feels like the draft lottery does. And I understand why it
You're familiar with the NFL, right?
But I just, I don't love that. Yeah. What I do love is if you can't get enough of that Saquon Barkley spin into the backwards hurdle, you can go back to it over and over and over again. Madden 25 has now added the Saquon Barkley backwards hurdle to the game. So now, if you are so good enough to actually know what the controls are to make it happen, you can do that in Madden 25.
You can make it happen. How cool is that? And I should have predicted that.
I'm thinking how cool they could just go in and put that play in like that.
That's what
we
would
have had to wait till next year to get that play.
Now
you could just go in and update it.
Yeah,
but that's why they charge you more. It's like, oh, the game continues updating. I'm like, no, just give me the game. I don't want to pay more than the first time I pay it. But I also see that you guys are very different than me because y'all went to, oh, how cool. And I was like, the first time somebody does that to me, I'm unplugging the game. Ain't no way. You're going to be out here stunting on me with the backwards hurdle.
Well, there's going to be more failures than successes, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I could see that.
Nah, it's Madden, man. All type of crazy stuff happened on Madden.
Some other things that came in on the text line from the 8-2. How many sacks did Michael Parsons have in that game? I just checked my notes, and the answer is zero, friend.
Zero.
The answer is
Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz did more than him.
Had a better game.
How about this from the 8-3-2? If Parsons wants to talk about all-time records, someone should ask him about who has had more playoff wins in that time.
Right.
I believe that goes to the Houston Texans.
Yeah. You can go back and forth with that.
Interesting. All right, that's around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Thursday. Coming up next, as we typically do around this time on a Thursday, let's talk to our guy, former Houston Texan, Andy Kalu. We'll do it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I love it when we get a little LB, little brother on the show. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. That's Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atitula. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Thursday. It's a thirsty Thursday. The drive will be at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave in the city, so go ahead and make your plans there if you want to go out and see them fine.
That's
fellas.
My home BW.
There you go.
Yeah. You showing up?
I might. I might. I got a meeting at 2:30, but I'll probably come by afterward.
Get you some.
I got nothing after that.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
Yeah.
You can't call this man nothing at all. Like, he's absolutely something whenever we get him every Thursday. Former Houston Texan. And it's funny to use little brother. I'm now considering him my big brother. It's Ndukwe Dike Kalu, otherwise known as ND Kalu. What's happening, my man?
My brother, how are you doing? How are y'all?
We are doing very well. It's Titans week, man, I'm very much trying to get into the feel of it, being back in Houston. I'm interested. John gave us the spiel on, in some ways, the owner, and I'm sure you knew how tenuous that can go. But I want to get it from like your position as a player who's played here for a few years. Like, what strikes you about the rivalry, either now or when you were playing against the Tennessee Titans?
It was more like, and again, being not from Houston, but from San Antonio, then living in Houston, you know, from 17 until I graduated college. That was the time the Oilers left Houston. And I grew up a Houston fan. So when you think of Tennessee, and it's very, you know, low-hanging fruit thought process, but you think, oh, that's the city, that's the place that took our team. So there was a little extra oomph, especially from the fans. And then you have the divided fans, where the fan base who said, you know what, we're still going to rock with the Tennessee Titans, and the other fans are saying, no, this is Houston, we have the Texans now. So you still have that rivalry, especially in the barbershop. I mean, I hear it every weekend when I go get the beard trimmed up, since I don't have anything on top of my head anymore. But they're you know, still fighting. And there's still that intense rivalry, whether or not people from Houston, like yourself, Reggie, should be Tennessee Titan fans or Houston Texan fans. So it's not quite the rivalry, in my opinion, as, you know, the Cowboys. And maybe it's because you actually see this team twice a year. But it's still something there, because there's still a few leftovers who are Titan fans because they feel like the Titans are the Oilers.
Hey, Andy, I want to talk about this defense, man. I'm getting more and more excited, frankly, about where they can go from here, especially at the cornerback positions. I brought up yesterday, if I had to build a defense just from ground zero, I would start with two kick-ass cornerbacks, and the Texans just might have them.
Not only are they kick-ass, as you said, but they're young. You know, they're two guys that you could build around. Now, obviously, I should say, you have a cap that you're going to have to deal with. But the thought of Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter being together for 5-6 years, I mean, that's an awesome thought, because that's one of the tougher positions to fill. That's one of the tougher positions to put somebody out there and say, you know what, we know we're going to be good here for the next few years. It's tough to field the team. There isn't any quote-unquote easy position. But when I think of, obviously, quarterback and then cornerback comes to me as like the number two toughest position to really find that find, mm-hmm. and then maybe left tackle. So to have two of them, like you mentioned, two ball hawks, two guys that are going to be starters, that are going to be Pro Bowl type players for years to come, if you could figure out a way to lock them down for the next 5-6 years, man, that's how you build championships.
It makes everything else easier on the defensive side, and you already got Will Anderson.
You got Will Anderson. Then you have a bunch of guys that aren't household names, but when you're watching the games, you're like, man, Danico Autry just made an awesome play. Or how about, Derek Barnett with the strip sack, fumble, another fumble, but then he picks it up and takes it to the house for a touchdown. I mean, every week there is somebody else who's making plays on this defense, but then your stars are consistently showing that they're stars, with the Derek Stingleys of the world and the Danielle Hunters.
Andy, I want to kind of continue the line of questioning with this defense. I'm interested in, like, what is the high watermark for this defense as well? And it feels like they have the possibility of being elite if you don't already view them as that. What's necessary to get them to that point?
Consistency. I mean, you just have to consistently make big plays. There were a couple plays, I'll say, against the Cowboys where you say, okay, this is a very, very good defense, but if you want to be great, you have to come down with that interception. You know, there was a couple of plays where it hit the DBs in the chest and they didn't come down with it, but they made a nice play on the ball. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be elite, if you want to be top tier, if you want to be thought about, like the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the San Francisco 49ers, those are the plays you have to make, and you have to make it consistently. That's, to me, that's the biggest thing. And I feel like they've been playing consistent ball, even with the tough loss against Detroit. I mean, 5 interceptions, you can't ask for more from your defense.
You know what's interesting about watching this defense, and we will get to the offensive side, but, you know, I'm looking at Danielle Hunter, and, you know, here we are week 12. These guys are supposed to be beat up and sore and tired, and yet he seems to be getting better. Like he seems to be, you talk about consistency, more consistent and making more plays. I mean, is that just a comfort thing, or what is it that's going in with Danielle Hunter?
You know, I mean, it's kind of like what we said. I mean, he's a great NFL player. You know, he's a fringe Hall of Fame type player. So those guys, what separates them, they play at a high level consistently the entire season, and they do it for multiple years. Like, that's the difference between a Danielle Hunter, and I'll take a shot at myself, and a guy like myself, where you're a role player, you have a good game, and you do enough to stay on the team, and before you know it, you've played 12 years. But, like, my top games, you know, my games that I had 3 sacks against the Rams, that's Danielle Hunter's regular day. you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he does on a regular basis, where, you know, if he has a 3-sack game, of course he's going to be happy. He's going to celebrate that, but he's going to be like, you know, I have a few of those. Like, when I had my 3-sack game, I was like, man, I'm good. My career. I'm ready to pack it in. I've hit my ceiling. But all jokes aside, I'm not surprised, because just look at his stats. Look at what he's done over the last decade. Like, he's a special player. Like, Will Anderson is going to be that type of guy. J.J. Watt, obviously, you know, was that guy to the 10th degree. But that's who Danielle Hunter is, and that's why he's a Pro Bowler year in and year out.
We're talking to former Houston Texans Andy Kalu right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And, Danielle, talking about him, like, he keeps hitting these double moves with the spin and everything and being effective, and it's one of those wow moves. And that got me thinking, like, just in more of a general sense, as a former player, what is the thing on the field that's most likely to have, you know, give you a wow moment of, like, supreme appreciation and admiration of what happened on the field?
His moves. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, when I watch him play – I feel like even when it doesn't result in a sack, Reggie, like there'll be times, and I spend a lot of time watching the trenches. Like, I love watching offensive, defensive linemen and just the games within the games that happen, you know, for obvious reasons. But there are times that I'm like, man, this dude is 30 years old and he just made that move. And the flexibility, the athleticism, the quickness, the explosion, like, everything that I just mentioned, you'll see that on one move from Danielle Hunter, and you'll see it consistently. And it makes me appreciate, even though I don't know the guy, with the way he's playing and how he's playing, I know what he's doing away from the field. And that's what you have to appreciate. If I was a betting man and we had a chance to talk and he was going to be truthful, I would bet that every day he's doing the boring things that you don't want to do as a player, getting in the hot tub, getting in the cold tub, eating correctly, you know, going through the stretch sessions away from the team, getting the right massages, you know, the sports deep tissue massages where they're digging into you with the elbows. I bet you he's doing that consistently, and that's why at 30 he looks more explosive than a lot of guys in their early 20s.
You said it. You love to watch the trenches, and I didn't quite know what to take away from the offensive line performance against the Cowboys. I said it's complicated because, you know, yes, they only allowed one sack, but they had gave up 14 pressures. Yes, you had a 100-yard rusher, but the interior three guys were the three of the lowest rated grades, at least according to Pro Football Focus. Like, what should we take away from the offensive line performance?
They looked good against a bad team. Looked good against, and now you have to give them credit. Michael Parsons didn't really have a big game stat wise, and he's one of the best edge players in the game. But yeah, they're a good offensive line. I don't think anybody, you know, would say they're not good. They play poorly, but they look good against a team that's in disarray, against a team that doesn't really have their star player on the interior of that defensive line. Guess what? They're going to be tested this week, yeah, because Jeffrey Simmons is a bad man, and Tavondre Sweat, he's no joke either, and they both play inside. So if we can have another game where Joe Mixon gets 80, 90, 100 yards rushing because they're opening up holes, especially between the A and B gaps where you have Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, then you can say, okay, yeah, this is the team that I expected. I can't speak for anybody else. This is the position group, the offensive line that I expected in the preseason.
I'm glad you used the word test because it ties in with what our question of the day was earlier today. A football writer said that he believes that the NFL should allow one or every team to pick one player to not get PED tests, almost as a designated juicer of sorts. If you had to select one guy from this team to be like, hey, man, you can go ahead and shoot up whatever you need to get yourself to the right place, what guy would you pick?
Wow, I love that question. Okay, one guy to allow to basically take any horse steroids yep. that are out there off the market.
Or HGH, or whatever is necessary, man.
My initial thought was Kenyon Green.
He was brought up.
I think I'm going to go more so for the most violent position on the field, and that's running back. So I'm going to go Joe Mixon.
Oh, man.
Just because of the way he runs, I would love to see him juiced up, running without an ACL, but he's not worried about it because of a roid rage. So I think I'm going to go the other route, a guy who doesn't need it, but he'll be almost like a superhero with it, and Will Anderson.
Yeah, I said him. I think he's a cyborg.
Yeah, without it. So just can you imagine with it?
Yeah.
He might literally fly out of his stand. So I'm going to go Will Anderson. That's my final answer.
Very good.
Will
Anderson. I think that's officially where we landed as a full show. Yeah. A lot of fun other nuggets came through. Some people were like, Kyeme Fairbairn, see if he can kick a 70 or 80 yarder. All those things. But I think you came up with some good answers there, Andy, as you always do when you join us on a Thursday.
That is an awesome. You know what? Y'all ruined my day. I'm supposed to go back to work. But now I'm going to be analyzing, like, should I have gone with, like, a second string linebacker? That way you'd be first string.
Yeah. Some people were going, like, maybe like Kadar Holman or Jeff Okuda to, you know, kind of up that there, you know, your depth there. Someone went, and I appreciate this forethought, the idea of going with Christian Harris, give him some HGH to help him back onto
get him
the
healthy.
Field. You know?
Or a guy that they shouldn't even test, John Metchie,
Because of everything he's been through.
It's kind of like, who's my guy who lost his nuts? The biker.
Lance Armstrong.
Like, when I learned about him taking steroids, I was kind of like, come on, man. He lost his huevos. I still respect what he's done. He's the only athlete that got caught using steroids where it didn't change my positive opinion of him. Every other one, I was like, oh, so that's why he was so good. Yeah, but when you lose your huevos, I think you should be able to take any and everything that you can.
We've lost ND. We've lost ND. Done for the day.
Well, look, our both of our phones are available if you need to text us with more answers. We will take them. Someone else was like, it has to be Damian Pierce, need a second running back. I appreciate that thought as well.
Yeah.
But it's always, always, always a blast to get you on the phone, ND. Thank you for giving us some time, and hopefully we get to talk to you after another Texans victory.
All right, God willing. Enjoy the game, and I'll speak with y'all next week.
Yes, sir. There he goes. ND Kalu, former Houston Texan real estate mogul, and always a good guest for us here in the loop. All right, coming up next, somebody said Patreon HG. It's such a fun question. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we'd have so much fun with this. All right, but coming up next, let's get into what's popping after another Rockets victory. And also, what was the other thing? Cy Young's. We're giving out. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on this Thursday in the Loop. And we begin with a victory for your Houston Rockets. They get back into the win column after they took a loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. It was kind of frustrating late in that game. And you had to wait a day, give them an off day, and they were back at it yesterday at Toyota Center. Got a victory over the Indiana Pacers, 130-113, big-time victory. Also broke a 9-game losing streak versus the Pacers. That was cool, but I think the bigger thing, and I'll let you, I guess, decide, John, do you feel like it was kind of the way that it was, the play happened, where they really dispatched the Pacers pretty easily? They showed a lot of good things in the game, even with some foul trouble in there. Amen had some foul trouble in there, especially the Terror Twins of sorts that have been one of the real catalysts for this team. It feels like the starters have come in, been all right, and then the second team has come in and really jumped it off, and then they roll with that through the end of games. Didn't quite have that in the same way. Still had a resounding victory regardless. Or was it the championships teams being in the building celebrating the 30th anniversary of the championships? In fact, the City Edition uniforms or jerseys that they're wearing are homages to the banners that got put up for those championships with the court and everything. It felt like there was a lot of those alumni there. Even
Bullard was there.
Yeah, it was Matt Bullard was on the broadcast for a moment as well. Like,
even Lisa Malosky, the former TV sideline court.
So I'm guessing you mean you feel like that was the bigger portion of the night.
No, you can't lose that game. Yeah, I mean, that's a must not lose game, and to have those guys there. No, that was the highlight. That's basically, it was the theme throughout the night. And then, I thought the uniforms looked pretty sweet, too.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah, especially with the context and everything on the night, looked really good, and they looked really good doing it. Shout out to Jabari Smith, right? Like,
I was just gonna say that. Go ahead.
No, you got it.
That's two games in a row now.
Yeah,
that Jabari has come up big.
And don't forget, he also had the Friday night game as well, where he was doing things big in a big way. Also, knocking down shots is really a big thing. Plus, guarding the center, and in this instance, it was a Jairus Walker in a kind of return to the area that he shows up in. The highest drafted Houston Cougar since Hakeem is Jairus Walker. He came and Jabari Smith handled him up pretty well, as Jairus Walker only had 5 points, and all of those were from the free throw line. Like, he's been playing a really good brand of basketball, and one of those guys that's kind of been unsung early on this year. It's easy to talk about Jalen Green's early explosion. It's easy to talk about Alperen Şengün putting triple doubles up and getting every basket that he wants, which he can kind of continued in this game with a 13-12 performance. It's easy to talk about the Terror Twins, wreaking havoc defensively and then getting up the floor. But Jabari has just been steady, guarding guys well, now knocking down shots again, and just doing the little things that he's asked.
He's been absolutely more than steady. I mean, it's one of those things where you know, you really open your eyes to what he is, why he's still in the starting lineup, why they're playing so well. But to me, I mean, the two big takeaways, aside from, you know, the championship teams being around and how cool that was, I mean, I don't think you can put a price on what Fred VanVleet does for this squad.
That is true.
I really don't. I mean, he's so important. I mean, we all know about point guards and all that. Maybe their role has been a little bit diminished in today's NBA, but not here, not with him. They knocked down more threes. A lot of them were courtesy of VanVleet, you know, getting that shot open for them. And then the second thing was Şengün. All of a sudden becoming Mr. Consistency out there. 31 points, I think that's his season high, and 12 rebounds, just consistently getting it done.
That's Bill Worrell. Bill Worrell was on the call. I appreciate you.
Oh, Bill Worrell, yeah.
Matt Bullard was there, but Bill Worrell is who I was thinking about. And I knew I was wrong, but I couldn't point to why I was wrong. I appreciate you on the five-hour energy line keeping me correct. 8-3-2, the whistle was kind of ticky-tacky all night, which is fair. But I did appreciate this game, and I'm glad that you brought up Fred VanVleet. He has always been a steadying force that shows up, but I think that also points back to something that we haven't talked about as much recently, but it's something that we kind of all know and acknowledge, is that Ime Udoka is doing a fantastic job with this team. Like, you see
Look at Jabari Smith.
Yeah, he has a very no-nonsense approach to these things, and, you know, it's very much about discipline and these types of things, and you see the way that these guys all really buy in, and you see the effect that it's having on a young team being able to play at this high of a level and consistently do the things that they do well, including certain things that don't feel like they should go together, which, you know, like a high offensive rebounding rates and the pace that they play at. And one of the things that it feels evident is Jalen Green, even though some of these shots aren't going for him in this moment in the month of November, I can still see the playmaking continue to develop for him.
Yeah.
And that was always a thing that felt like he didn't have a good balance on. You're finding that more of that balance. And I personally put a lot of that in addition to like the defensive, the defensive acumen of this team at the feet of Ime Udoka.
And speaking of Udoka, I hadn't seen this before. Maybe I just missed it. I thought it was pretty cool. He's talking about he got into basketball because of Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
And playing here and what he did with Portland and all that. So it was just a cool night all around.
There's that. Plus, you know, he like me, a Nigerian. And so the
little bit of Hakeem action there.
Hakeem in the building, man. I'm not going to lie, right? Like, I try during going to these games during the week ends up being a little tough for me with all the things that we have here. I was like, I kind of regretted not going to this one and getting a chance to see all the championship teams on the floor at Toyota Center. But shout out to the Rockets, 11-5. They continue to creep up in the standings, and they now technically tied for third with the Los Angeles Lakers, but only a game back from first place in the West. That this is more than you could have imagined early on in the season.
No, it's well beyond that. I said it, either last week or early this week. This is not a fluke. It's still early, but it's enough of a sample size to know what you're looking at, and you're looking at a team that's going to be right in the mix.
Next game is tomorrow versus the Trailblazers at the crib, and that's probably going to be an easy W to begin with.
Yeah, it is.
All right, some other things that are popping. Happy birthday, Johnny Dang.
How about that?
Yeah, man.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday to the legendary Houston jeweler, all up in the Houston rap scene. Jeweler to the stars.
Yeah. Iciest man on the planet.
Boy, he is.
He's up there, man. If you want a grill done right, Johnny Dang is that man. And so shout out to him on his birthday. I did mention that the Cy Young Awards were given out as the MLB kind of rolls out their season awards during this time period. Chris Sale wins it for the NL, and Tarek Skubal, of course, was going to win it. He won it unanimously. All 30 first place votes go to Tarek Skubal for the Cy Young in the AL, which, I mean, he was just phenomenal the Tigers. Did I say Cleveland? But worth noting for Astros fans, Framber Valdez received some votes, a couple of third place votes, a few fourth place votes, and
he received some what?
Some votes.
Some votes for what?
For Cy Young.
He got two third place votes and what was it?
Three fourth place votes.
Dang.
Five fifth place votes. Remember, it's a regular season award, folks. It's a regular season award.
Shout out to Brian McTaggart.
And maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, man. What was they watching?
I appreciate Framber, but maybe that brings up the trade value.
Hold on.
Framber got some pictures of somebody.
I feel like you're burying the lead here. Say Kikuchi.
That's exactly where I wanted to get to.
You say Kikuchi.
Received a vote, baby.
One fifth place vote.
Woo!
for the Cy Young.
Yeah, baby.
For the Cy Young.
Kikuchi!
And so does that one voter. Yes, sir.
So does that one.
Hey, they better sign them back. What they waiting on?
Can you see them like, okay, I'm going
to... Well, there's a bigger fish that they got to get figured out first before they worry about that.
How'd you like to be filling
I'm sure that other bigger fish ain't got no Cy Young vote.
That is correct.
But
if he did, that would be real shenanigans.
How about that one voter, you know, filling out his ballot? Yeah, I'm going to put Scoobal first. I'll put Seth Lugo second. I'll put Corbin Burns third. Logan Gilbert fourth. Who am I going to put fifth? Oh, I know. You say Kikuchi.
Kikuchi!
Correct. Correct.
Good might have been one of them girls that voted for
and I appreciate them. If nobody else appreciates y'all, I appreciate you. So, yeah, shout out to Fromber and Yusei.
Yusei.
For ending up
with that vote.
Getting votes, at least. So, it'll always a February on their baseball reference. It'll show some Cy Young voting in their favor. All right, some other things around the NFL. Not around the NFL. I said around the NFL because around the horn is one of what I wanted to mention. There was some kind of news leaking that around the horn, ESPN is considering canceling it and probably will in the summer of next year. They've been going for over 20 years.
About around 22 the horn. Years?
Yeah, 22 years, I believe, it's been going. Many of those, although it started with Max Kellerman with Tony Reale, and it ended up being... For folks like you, Lopez, an entry into the television with a lot of sports writers getting an opportunity to discuss sports in that way. I'm genuinely sad about this.
I think it's fair to be genuinely sad, but also know that it maybe ran its course because and it shouldn't have run its course. It should still be going. But I'm saying ESPN doesn't know what it is anymore.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is all about. ESPN doesn't know. I mean, it's top heavy. You know, with the McAfees and all that stuff.
Stephen A.
And then they're just letting the kind of the heartbeat of their programming die. The thing I loved about Around the Horn, and it wasn't just like necessarily just writers, but this was the entry point and testing ground and proving ground for people that are absolute stars.
Yeah.
Like Mina Kimes. She was around the horn first.
Mina Kimes,
Pablo Torre,
Monty
Jones,
Ramona Shelburne.
Ramona got in there as well. Michael Smith,
Michael Holly,
Jorge Sedano.
Yeah, a lot of folks. Israel Gutierrez. They've had a lot of folks in that space.
And I think all of a sudden became stars and would not have been otherwise.
But I think that speaks to, as you mentioned, the top heaviness of ESPN, where it's a lot of those few folks carrying a lot of their properties, where it used to be. They had a robust cast of a whole bunch of people, and this was another way to get all of those voices and those takes in. It's not going to be entirely... it's going to go away. Eric Rideholm, who is an executive producer on that show, and PTI, will be in charge of figuring out the replacement there. And I'm certain that they're going to keep that same kind of, like, debate, for lack of a better term.
But they're going to use their stars.
But it'll be interesting to see exactly what that replacement comes to.
Where would Mina Kimes be an absolute superstar?
Yeah,
if she didn't get that first chance.
Yeah, those were definitely opportunities to get more and more repetitions.
I will miss the Halloween edition they used to be on the money with those.
I miss Woody
Page.
Woody's the best.
Tim Callishaw.
Yeah,
all those guys was good, man. Yeah.
Well, we'll see if ESPN finds ways to use them or other young talent in future iterations.
It's funny, that hour is probably the only original thing. From the golden days of ESPN. Well,
pardon the interruption Around the Horn.
Yep. I used to be glued to that hour, Monday through Friday.
Sports Center still pops up every once in a while.
It's not the same Sports Center, though, man.
Can you name three of the guys that do sports?
Do they still do top 10 plays?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Let's revisit this. Nick Caserio jumped on with Payne Pendergast. It was very insightful. Nick was pretty giving in his conversation. And I want to revisit some of the things, some of the takeaways that we got from Nick Caserio's visit with Payne Pendergast. We'll do that next.